This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. There's a difference between managing and leading. And I guess with alpacas, we need to do a bit of both. But sometimes we can err on the side of managing. And we know what we want. We will have it. We will tell them what to do. We will make the alpacas do what we want. And, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, we do need to get them to do what we want. And we are doing things for them, to care for them. But how we get there? Yeah, sometimes leading is a bit more useful, both in the moment, but also in the longer term, because we build a relationship of trust with our alpacas. And if they will follow you, which is what a leader is, someone who is followed, then we can actually develop something of a cooperation. They're still going to not want to be injected. They're still going to not want to have their toenails trimmed. There will be a range of things that will be things we need to have done that they're not really going to want to have done, like shearing, for example. Or like you intervening and helping in a birth, if there's a difficult birth. And there are times when, I'm sorry, they really do not want you there. They don't want you interfering. And yeah, I completely get that, completely understand that. But at the same time, there are times when that is important. That's a necessary part of our role as carers for our alpacas. So building a relationship over time, one of leading rather than managing, will serve them. They'll be more relaxed. Will help them to trust you, which has a two-way dimension to it, of course. Makes your life easier as well as making it less stressful for them. But over time, you've got to earn that trust through being consistent, through being the one who is doing helpful things, things that they want, things that they like giving them food, like giving them hay, like improving the water, topping it up or refreshing it, whatever is needed. And it probably needs both of those things at the moment, given the heat that we're experiencing. But also giving them freedom to express themselves where that's possible. That isn't causing a danger to themselves. That isn't going to mean that they're out of control. We don't want to have them out of control, but we do need to have them safe and in a place where they can be cared for appropriately. Not sure this is making sense for you, but the difference between managing and leading. And I think you can drive alpacas, you can push them. You can shout at them and drive them hard. They don't really like that. And I'm not sure it gains too much, really. Unless the barn's on fire, my always return to scenario. If the barn's on fire, then you do shout and you do get them out quick. But most of the time, the barn isn't on fire. Most of the time, we can plan, we can organize, and we can take a lead in what we're doing. We can make decisions that will help get the job done in a way that builds trust, confidence, and is a demonstration of leading the alpacas. So managing them, I don't want to give it a complete negative to managing. We do need to manage them at times. There are health issues. There are general care and husbandry things that we need to do. And all of that needs to be managed. We need to do those things that they would choose us not to do. That's That's not possible. I'm sorry. You have to be sheared. Therefore, we do that. But we do it in a way that is working with them rather than just enforcing our will or dominating. I think that's my plea that I'm just adding into the mix here for you to think about. How do you bring in more cooperation, more them following your lead rather than them having to do what you make them do? Well, there are things you can do in terms of physical barriers, physical things like hurdles, like gates, and the positioning of a gate and the making things into laneways so you can move between fields. If that's something that you can organize, that's something that's definitely worth looking at. So it becomes a corridor, a controlled corridor, because it's got fences. It's like a very big passageway with fences, but that's also a grazing area, so you can allow them to graze, but also you can easily move them. It's easy to open up a gate that moves them from one field to another, but there's only one direction for them to go, one way for them to go. And then either you can walk and lead them from the front, and over time they will follow, they will engage with you in that way. And other times, then it's a question of gently encouraging them from the back, a bit of herding pressure from the back, moving towards them. They will tend to move away, but not in a hurry. They're not running away from you, but they're moving along, so you can kind of push them along in the direction you want them to go, or just make it possible for them to move from one place to the other and let them take their time doing it. It doesn't fit with it. Busy schedules that we have, does it? Very easily. Sometimes we've got to, sorry, this is my time. I've got this much time before I go to work. And you have to do this now. You got to work with those constraints. But where possible, I think building relationships that are relationships of trust and confidence in you will serve you and the alpacas better. And that's going to take time. That's going to take some thought and some planning. Some physical structure things like getting gates in the right place. But do make use of those hurdles, the taller hurdles for alpacas, the short sheep hurdles, the low ones are not really going to work. But having something that you can set up quickly and move, you can create a funnel and a catch pen, you can work them against a fence and along to the place you want them to be, and you can control what's going on, but in a way that's helping them see what it is you want them to do. Actually, they're quite bright. Once they understand what it is you're trying to do, generally they'll cooperate. I've said this before, generally. Sometimes they know exactly what you want to do and they're not going to cooperate because they don't want to do that. And it's a question of timing often with that is if they're facing towards you and they want to go past you, you're in a little fight situation here. But what if you were to move up behind them more when they're facing in the right direction and you can keep them moving gently in the right direction? That's a different kind of thing. They don't feel quite so much like they're being driven. If they've got a place to go to, an escape route that feels safe and a direction that they want to be going anyway, then that can be a helpful thing to encourage them down that way. You don't need to make a lot of noise, don't need to. And then sometimes you just need to get their attention and shift it back to the direction that they were going in, because sometimes they turn around and they want to come back through you. Ha ha. Arms go wide and you make yourself as big as you can and try and block the space, but some will still try and squeeze past. Sheep are a lot worse. My experience is that sheep are a lot worse for doing that and for bouncing and jumping and getting past things. We have it easy with our alpacas, I think. So moving forward with relationship building, with confidence building. And that's your confidence as well, of course. And being able to know that you can have the thing set up, the gate open, the laneway between, and then you can move them more easily. And I've found herding tape. So it's kind of web, call it tape, it's kind of webbing. And it's, they're really useful as a way of kind of, yeah, you can jiggle it and it's a bright color orange and they know it's there and they'll move along. They don't fear it, but they tend to move away from it. That can be really helpful, particularly when I'm moving them down from being in the open, in the corral, down into the stable. And I want to close them in, close the, he's up to something. They know I'm up to something. But getting them down, but sometimes I can do that. If I take my time, I'm not in a rush, and I take my time, I can persuade them to come down. Oh dear, we don't want to do this, but we will. And they come down and they'll come in and they understand what's going on and they'll, and then the hums, the level of the hums go up to each other. And they're kind of accepting of those things. But that's built up over time. First time you try and do that with animals that are not familiar with you, that's going to be much more of a challenge. So take your time doing these things. Take your time building those habits. Feed them in a place where you also want them to be contained for husbandry purposes. So get them used to being in the place, and it's not all a negative. So the only time they go in the stable and get the doors closed is when there's something negative about to happen. If you can balance it with good things as well, that's always helpful. So thinking management leadership, and it goes for people as well, of course, people helping you, people that you work with, it may be employees or it may be other situations, it may be family, then try and find ways of not managing them, but leading them. Showing how, showing what it is that you're looking for, and getting them to opt in rather than being forced to do. It's a challenge. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes thought, and it takes heart, I think, to get that well. And you make mistakes along the way. I'm sorry. You wanted the easy route without the mistakes, without the getting it wrong along the way. Ah, yes. But I can't offer you that because it doesn't exist. From my experience, we learn most from making mistakes. And sometimes those are, well, I'm never going to do that again. Or I'm certainly not going to do it that way. Next time, I will make sure that that is in place, or the gate's closed, or the gate's open, or the whatever it is. And sometimes it's just what it is, and it's not a forever thing. It's just a thing that had to be done for that moment. But when we can build things, I think it's a good thing to be doing that. Don't try and do all of that spontaneously, in the moment now, but actually build it over time. Think about it, plan it, take your little steps, build them bit by bit by bit, and find yourself in a place where things are better, things are easier, and you're taking a lead. You've got a plan and a direction. Come with me. Follow me.
And the weather was slightly windy for being outside, so I've moved indoors, which is why it sounds different. The girls were taking themselves off. I saw them and heard them, little noises. I don't suppose they ended up in the recording. Going along the green path up among the trees. But the wind was picking up. It's been a grey morning, slightly damp, but not raining, and the wind was just picking up. But that gets the geese excited. They've been practicing with their wings, having a go. Here we go. And they're just kind of running across the car park at the moment, but every now and again, there's little signs of stretching going on. And we seem to have a collection of younger, smaller ducks around, which is really nice. So there's some ducklings that have made it through the breeding season and getting into younger adult phase. Things change quite quickly, don't they? And I know for those who are in the middle of the breeding season with the alpacas, then the crea have arrived. You've been waiting for them. There's still some more to come, I'm sure. And then they just grow so quickly, and everything happens. Make the most of the time you can. If you can, spend a bit of time around just watching the crea. And don't forget to spend a bit of time around sundown. At dusk, they get a bit frisky and they run around and they'll chase each other. It's always nice when you've got a few of the crea around, same age, and they're able to play together. It does make a difference for them. So if that's possible, that's always a good thing to organise. As much as we can organise things. The number of cunning plans that we've had that just haven't really quite worked out. There we go. So if you can spend a bit of time with your alpacas, spend a bit of time outside, you need a coat on probably to cover you from the wind and the occasional showers, or to find a shady spot where you can sit out of the strong sun. Take care. Keep stretching. Keep moving forward. Keep growing. And keep looking to be a leader. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.